Well, without further ado, we have Brother Terry to come preach for us, and so we're looking forward to what God has in store for us. So with no further ado, Brother Terry, come.
It is about 9 or 10 after 1 here, is that correct? Now I got the Well, usually now on Sunday about this time, I'm getting a nap. That's just how it works. I've trained my people. I said, look, after preaching and lunch, I'm stretched out on the couch. So if y'all see me doze off up here, just kind of throw something at me and wake me up. And I know how Baptists are. You get your belly full, it ain't long before I'm going to lose you. So I'm going to throw something at you as I see you nodding off. So we'll be even here. But I'll be brief this afternoon. Turn with me in your Bible to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, the Gospel of Mark. I want to look at a couple verses there, chapter 8, verses 22 through 26 there. And prayerfully, God will just use it to stir our hearts, do something in us that needs to be done. And again, that we might just honor and please Him. Gospel of Mark chapter 8, verse 22. If you don't mind, I'll let you stand one more time. At least I know everybody's awake right now. Amen. Mark chapter 8, verse 22. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, he put his hands upon him, and he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes, and made him look up, and he was restored, and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town, nor tell it in any of the town. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we again thank you for your grace and your mercy. We ask your blessings upon your word today. Again, let your Holy Spirit do what only you can do through it, Lord. We just pray that needs would be met, and everything said and done, we might honor you and glorify your Father. For we ask in Christ's name, amen. You know, before I get into our message, I've shared a little bit about you. I was born, as I said, in Biloxi, Mississippi, April the 28th, 1958. Now, y'all should have wrote that down and sent me a birthday card with a gift in it. You know, see, I'm going to have to train them a little bit better, you know. But somehow over the last 63 years, I woke up one day and I realized I'm old. And I don't know when that happened for you, but there's three things that I recognize that kind of demonstrated that I was getting old. And I call them the bulge, the baldness, and then losing a little bit of my eyesight. And some of you are there also. I can tell. I ain't going to point names. Your pastor. He came by to pick me up yesterday with his son to go out and eat, and I was waiting in the lobby of the hotel, and I seen a van pull up, and I looked down and said, well, there's kind of an old man, kind of a little chubby and bald. I said, that now, I said, well, that ain't him. That ain't Brother George that I know. And I kept looking. I said, well, that old man's starting to look a little bit like George. So, George, we're there too, brother. Amen. You know you're getting old when you begin to see that these burial plots. I don't know how they know you get no, but I begin to get these advertisements for burial plots. And then what's that group, AARP or whatever, you know? So I realize, okay, I'm about there, or I've done past there, but you begin to realize you have more doctor's appointments during the month than any other appointments. There's something always breaking down or hurting that you have to get taken care of. And I know my brother asked me not too long ago, he said, when last time you had your eyes checked? And I never really thought about that, you know, getting a spiritual, my eyes checked and everything. But I began to, you know, said, okay, I need to get it done. Had to have LASIK surgery and have to wear glasses and everything now. But I thought to myself, Terry, when's the last time you've had a spiritual eye exam? And I thought, when's the last time our nation, you know, think about it, on a scale of 1 to 10, spiritually speaking, where's our nation at? Wow. I don't know about up in Missouri. I know how it is in Knoxville, Tennessee, but our country's in a mess. And sometimes I fail to pray for our country and leaders as I ought to. It's easy to condemn them, but I think we need to pray, because you look around at the spiritual condition of our country, outlaw prayer in schools. They don't want the Ten Commandments. They don't want God nowhere. Don't want us to preach the word. Our nation spiritually definitely needs revival. I think our nation needs to take a spiritual eye checkup. Right. But then I thought about, what about me? And then what about you? On a scale of 1 to 10, how spiritual are you? Do you need a spiritual eye checkup today? Well, I think that's what this story is about here in Mark chapter 8, verse 22 here. When you study the Gospel of Mark, and I'm sure that you are aware of the Gospels, as you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all of them present Christ in a little different way. Matthew presents Christ as the King. Mark presents him as a servant. Then you have Luke as the Son of Man, John as the Son of God. Now, in the Gospel of Mark, it speaks about the ministry of Christ. In the book of Mark, you have more miracles recorded than the other three Gospels. There is a lot going on in the Gospel of Mark, and we see that through it, in those miracles, he's demonstrating that Christ has the power over desperate situations because he calms the sea, he feeds the thousands. He has power over the demons because he casts them out of a lot of people. He has power over diseases. He cures a woman that had an issue of blood. He has power over death. He raises a daughter back to life. So when you go into the Gospel of Mark, think about it as the book of miracles and the book of the ministry of Jesus Christ and what he's capable of. And especially here in this chapter, we see there's a miracle that takes place. And I'll say this, is the most unique and different miracle of all miracles that Jesus ever performed. So when you're reading about the story here in verses 22 through 26 about Jesus opening the eyes of this blind man, the reason I say this the most different and most unique miracle, this is a two-step miracle that takes place. Nowhere else is that done in the Bible here. And now, lest you're here thinking, well, it's a two-step miracle because Jesus messed up the first time, or he did it wrong the first time. Let me assure you, Jesus never messes up. Everything that he ever done had purpose and was precisely right. He didn't mess up here. You might say, well, maybe he lacked the power. No, Jesus has all power. I mean, if he could speak everything we see into existence, he can handle doing a miracle right. So he did not mess up. He did not lack power. I believe that he did this for a reason. And that reason is because there is a hidden message in the story of this miracle here. And I want to get you to look at it. And as we all look at it together, maybe we'll see why Jesus did it the way he did. And it'll help change our lives. So let's notice three or four things about this miracle. I entitled the message, The Second Touch. I noticed y'all put them on your website. So, brother, you have the message. That's the title. I'll give you the points here, and then we'll get started. So we see the second touch here. And what do I mean about that? Well, here's a guy, the Bible tells us, a man's condition in verse 22. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto here. Now, here's a blind man. I don't know how he became blind. There's really only three ways that this happened. He was either born in this condition, he was either in an accident that caused him to lose his eyesight, and that can happen, or maybe some disease that infected his eyes and he lost his sight. Now, I know that's prevalent over in the Middle East. I've traveled to the Philippines, I lived in the country of Albania, I spent a lot of time in Greece, and I noticed over there were a lot of people whose eyesights were damaged or just didn't have the eyesight that we have here today. And so this guy, for whatever reason, however it came about, we find him in this situation. And in the Middle East, if we were over there living in his society, in this condition, it would be very difficult. It would have been a struggle. It would have been a hardship. They didn't have the medicine. They didn't have the foundations. They didn't have the funding to try to help people like that. So if we transplanted ourselves and became this man over there, it would probably be 100 times worse for our life than here in the United States. So imagine that's you over there, you're going through all these difficulties. This man needed a miracle in his life. And there again, I think we need a miracle in our lives today. Amen. This man needed his eyes open. Jesus came to open the eyes of the blind. Now, I'm not speaking about just physical, I'm speaking about spiritual blindness. I believe every one of us, in a sense, has that problem. Our eyes, I think, sometimes need to be opened up greater by Christ so that we can do and be what God wants us to be. So here's this individual. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus came to open the eyes of the blind. So if you're here today and you are lost, spiritually you need your eyes open. And I pray that that happens to you. I pray that you don't go through your life down here with your eyes in darkness by sin and Satan, but I hope that you'll let Christ open your eyes. Now, I believe most of you are saved. I hope everybody here is saved. So I want to not only just focus on this man's condition, but I want you to see that he was blind. But verse 22 tells me also that he was a brought man. Now, what do I mean by that? And he cometh to Bethesda, and they bring a blind man unto him. Now, who are the they in verse 22? They're the heroes of this story outside of Christ. Somebody, I don't know if it was a family member. They represents a pluralness here. So it seemed to me that at least it was two or more brought this blind man to Jesus. Maybe it was a family member. Maybe it was some friends. I don't know who they are, but they were willing to invest their time and their ability to get this man to Jesus. Their eyes had been open. They wouldn't have been bringing him to Jesus if they were in spiritual darkness. So it seems to me like they've been saved by the grace of God. They've experienced all that God has. So they want this man to experience that. So the only way they can do that is to bring him to Jesus there. They cared too much to leave him in his condition. They had the answer to his needs in Christ. They knew if we can get him to Jesus, Jesus can perform a miracle on this man. They had the answer. You know, we have the answer. We have the answer to the world's problems out there. We have the answer to the need that everybody has, and that's Jesus Christ. The question is, are we bringing men to Christ? I mentioned that a little bit earlier today. That should be our sole duty. That's why God left you here. You know, that's why we're here in life. Listen, when it gets to the point that God does not need us to bring people to Him, He'll take us on out of this world. But for now, I got to ask myself, am I willing to take whatever time, invest whatever energy at whatever the cost, and try to bring people that have a need in their life, a spiritual need, and introduce them to Christ? Because when that happens, their eyes spiritually are open. There's nothing greater than leading somebody to Christ. Of all the joys in life, I have a great wife, I have a great son, I've had a great ministry, I've had a great life, but the greatest thing that I've experienced is when I pray with somebody and hear them pray and say, Jesus, save me and forgive me of my sins. Amen. That should be our purpose here. So here's a man, here's his condition, he's blind, but he's also being brought, but I want you to notice also, here's a man in verse 23, that I believe is a believing man. Now, why do I say that? And he took the blind man. This is speaking of Jesus. They brought him to Jesus. Now, notice what Jesus does here. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. Now, notice what's taking place here. This man had a lot of faith. This man was used to his place in life, where he lived, his surroundings. He got accustomed to knowing where everything is, maybe by feel or whatever. But now Jesus comes along, a man that he's never seen, a man he's never met, a man who reaches down and basically says, take my hand, I'm going to take you from your surroundings that you're familiar with, this town, I'm going to take you outside the walls of this town. That took a lot of faith. To allow somebody to lead him that he didn't know and to take him to a place that he'd never been. I mean, me, I'd have said, okay, let's just deal with this thing right here. You know, I'd have probably said, no, I'd rather stay here where I'm at. But this man had enough faith somehow in Jesus that he let him take him by the hand and allowed him to lead him outside of the walls of that city in unfamiliar surroundings. And then the next part really gets me. And then Jesus spits in his eyes. You can tell COVID wasn't around back then. Man, sometimes you go to shake somebody's hand and they go, you know, they run from you. If I'd have been this guy and I'd have had enough faith to let him lead me out and then all of a sudden he spit in my eye, I'd have thought, what have I got myself into? But he's willing to trust. Did you know that's the same way we come to Christ? The just shall walk by faith and not by sight. You know, I think about this. I've never seen Christ. I've never heard His voice outside of His Holy Spirit speaking to my heart in His living word here. But you know, I had enough faith when He convicted me and made me aware of my sins to allow Him to take me to the cross where He suffered and died for my sins and to put my faith in Him. That's the same way you were saved. You see, it's not of works anything we do, the Bible says. It's simply by faith. So I say this is a believing man because he was yielding to Jesus Christ, to the touch of Christ upon his life, willing to go as far as Christ wanted to take him, allowing Christ to do whatever Christ wanted to do to him so that his eyesight may be made better. When you come to Christ in salvation, that's what we do. We're saying, Lord, you take us down whatever road you want to take us down. You make us feel as guilty and shameful of our sins as we ought to be. And then, Christ, you let me see what you paid the debt for my sins. So here is a believing man. And at the end of verse 23, when Jesus spits upon him, then he puts his hands on him. Now, that even got me, I don't know, maybe I'm just warped in my mentality. Led me by the hand outside the walls of the city. I'm in unfamiliar space. He spits on my eyes and then he touches me. He puts his hands upon me. I'm thinking, what's next? He's going to strangle me? But he allows him to do that. And the Bible says that when he put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. Okay, now is where the miracle begins. He's touched him. He spit upon his eyes. He's allowed himself to be led outside of the city. And notice in verse 24, and he looked up and he said, I see men as trees walking. Now, I got to conclude a couple things from that verse and that statement. How did he know that they were men? How did he know what trees looked like? And how did he kind of get it confused that these look like men or trees that were walking? You see, he's not blind any longer here. You see that? He's left the blinded eyes, but he's moved to the next step I called the blurred eyes. His eyes have been opened. Let's just make it like this. He's been saved by the grace of God. I'm not saying that God has to save us over and over. No, you're saved once forever, and I'm glad for that. I'm glad I don't have to live under that doctrine and teaching that you lose your salvation every time you sin. I wouldn't know if I was coming and going. But here's this man, he's honest with himself. He simply says, I'm not seeing clearly. My eyes are out of focus. I see men, but they look like they're trees walking. That's a pretty honest answer. Now, he could have told a story. I can see. I'm good. Thank you. Get me back in town now. But he didn't go that. He wanted Christ to know that he wasn't seeing clearly. I wear glasses. There was a time when I did not wear these things. There was a time when I did not know I needed glasses. I always thought I was seeing what everybody else was seeing. We was in St. Petersburg, Florida. We was at a catfish house. We'd go there, a bunch of church members from Lone Oak. And we were sitting at the table, and there was a young lady by the name of Mindy sitting beside me. She had read her menu, and she put her glasses down. Well, I was going to be funny, I reckon, pick them up, and they were like red women glasses. I said, I'm going to put these things on and see what. And I put them on. I went, wow. Wow. I could see pictures on the wall way back there. This is how for the next 5 minutes I was going, wow. Wow. And they said, what's wrong? I said, I can see all that. She said, you know, you need to go to an eye doctor. You probably need glasses. So I went the next day. I made me an appointment. I went and I got glasses. I was driving down Interstate 4, I believe it is, there outside of Tampa. Driving down the road going, wow, I can read speed limit signs. Wow, I can read the billboards. I did not know I couldn't see. I mean, actually, I saw that trees have individual leaves on them. I'd never seen that. And then I ended up having LASIK surgery. And I went out one day at our church and I was closing the gate up and the dew had settled and I looked down and I could see every individual dew droplet on the grass. You see, I didn't even know that I needed an eye exam. I didn't know I couldn't see. You see, you're here today and you don't even realize you might need a spiritual eye exam right now. You might not know that you're not seeing as clearly as God wants you to see right now. Your eyes could have been like mine, out of focus. You say, Brother Terry, how do we know when our eyes are out of focus? I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to tell you. Let me give you four or five things to think about and be honest with yourself to see if you're spiritually seeing everything God wants you to see right now. Do you love the Savior as much today as you have ever loved Him in your life? Do you enjoy spending the time with Him today as much as you did in the past? When I got saved by the grace of God, I wanted to spend every moment with Him. I would go back to that little trailer in Van Cleve, Mississippi, and I'd get right beside the bed where I was saved, and I'd get on my knees. Sometimes I'd just lay on the floor, and I'd talk to Christ. And I'd pray to Him, and I would thank Him. And I'd feel His presence so strongly in my life, and at that moment, I was scared to open my eyes that I might see Him. All I wanted to do after being saved, I just wanted to spend time with Him. But you know what happens after 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 or 40 years after salvation? Somehow we lose that desire. Somehow the joy is gone from spending time with Christ, and we look up and we hardly even mention His name. We hardly even talk with Him. So do you love the Savior more? Can you say that today? I love Him more today, right now, than I ever have, or have my spiritual eyes got out of focus? You see, I realize that mine does. I'm a pastor. I've been a missionary. I'm a preacher. But there are times, Brother George, to where my eyes spiritually get out of focus. And I don't spend the time with my Lord the way that I ought to. And then let me ask you, do you love lost souls like you used to love them? When the last time you witnessed to somebody? You see, I was naive in this Christianity thing. I didn't know nothing. I was just saved. And I thought everybody wanted to know that I got saved. That next morning, I drove down to a little gas station to get gas before I went to my produce business in Gulfport, Mississippi. And I walked in, hey guys, I got saved. They probably looked at me like I was crazy now that I think about it. I stopped down at Burger King to get me a croissant sandwich before I went to work. And hey lady, I got saved last night. You see, I wanted to tell everybody about me getting saved. I wanted them to know about my salvation and their salvation. But over time, what happens? Our eyes get blurred. We get out of focus, and we do not witness about Christ the way we ought to. Now a whole day can go by, Brother George. I don't tell anybody about Christ. How long has it been for you? How long has it been before you just walked up to a total stranger and said, hey, can I tell you about Christ? I got saved. Can I tell you how sweet my life is now because of Him? You see, we don't even know it happens. And all of a sudden, our eyes are out of focus. We don't love the Lord the way we used to. We don't love the Scriptures and lost souls the way we used to. You see, there was a time I wanted to read this book every day. I hate it. I don't want to say hate. That's a strong word. I didn't like having to go to work and open my business up. I want to stay home and read the Bible. Bless God, He fixed that for me. I had appendicitis, was laid up for 3 months, got to read the Bible, amen. I loved reading this book. It was all new to me. Every character, every story was fresh and alive. But you know what happens after a while? We just kind of lay it down. Or at best, we just towed it to church. Now people don't even do that. They just punch a button. When's the last time you read the Word of God outside of a church atmosphere? Let me ask you this question. Have you ever read it from cover to cover? Have you ever read it through in a year? I challenged our people 23 years ago. I told our church members, I said, if you will read the Bible through with me in a year's time, I'll buy you a steak dinner. Bless God, the first year, they liked to broke me. 23 years later, and I've been challenging them to do that every year. I probably got 8 or 10 right now. I asked on Wednesday night, every Wednesday night, I tell them, where are you supposed to be in your Bible reading? How many's there? They raise their hand. I say, okay, I know how much money I'm going to have to borrow. But do you love the Word the way you used to? Do you spend time in it? If I took your phone and went on your Facebook page and saw how much time you were on your Facebook and then looked at your Bible and asked you how much time you spent in it, which one would win out? I'm just being honest with you. How many hours do we sit looking at a television, a ball game? You see, this became real to me one day. I was reading my Bible and this program came on. The next thing I noticed, I closed my Bible and put it up. And was more interested in the movie. What happened? My eyes got out of focus. I lost the love for the Word of God the way I used to have it. I remember I picked up a paper. We were taking care of an elderly couple in Florida, and her paper was outside, Sunday paper, and I brought it in, thought I was doing a good job, and I gave her, hey, here's your paper. You want to read it? She said, no, Brother Richard, I quit reading that. My eyes are so bad, I just use it to read the Word of God. And I thought, oh, my goodness, you talk about stab me in the back. Are you there? Do you love the Savior the way you used to? You love lost souls? Do you love the Scriptures? You got out of focus. Let me ask you another one. How about your love for God's house and the services? You say, I didn't know when churches were supposed to have church. I was green. I was just saved by the grace of God. I went into a church. Man, they had church on a Sunday morning. They said, you can come back Sunday night. I said, man, this is great. Oh, yeah, we have a midweek service. We have it on Wednesday. I thought, man, that's even greater. I said, but what about the other days? You see, I don't know. I just love going to church. I love the singing. I love doing something at the church. I love cutting the grass. I love doing everything. I'm thinking, why don't we do this every day? But you know what happens over time? It becomes like this. Oh, it's Sunday. It's church time again. I got to go to church. Instead, I want to go to church. You see what happens? Spiritual blindness. Our eyes get out of focus. Do you love the services the way you used to? Are you doing as much for this church today as you've done in the past? If not, something's wrong. Something's changed. Do you love being separated? Do you love the standards of Christ? Do you love the convictions that God put on your heart? Are you closer in your spiritual life, in your actions, your attitude, and your appearance to Christ today than you've been in the past? Or have you settled in for convenience? Or compromise. You see, this man was honest. He said, Lord, my eyes are blurred. They're just not seeing clearly. I'm grateful that they're open. Yeah, Lord, I'm thankful that I've been saved by the grace of God. But Lord, even after salvation, my eyes sometimes get out of focus. And they need some help. Well, here's the second part of that miracle. Look there in verse 24. I know his condition, he couldn't see. I know his confession, Lord, I need help. My eyes are still blurred and out of focus. And in verse 24, and he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. There's his confession. But notice his cure now. After that, he, meaning Jesus, put his hands again upon his eyes. There's the second touch. He touched him once and his eyes were open. But now he's fixing to touch him again that his eyes can be brought into focus. And notice what happens when your eyes are brought into focus at the end of verse 25 there. It says, after that he put his hands upon him, his eyes were made, and made him look up, and he was restored. That means to be made like he ought to have been. And he saw every man clearly. He put his hands upon him, the second touch. I'm not saying you need to be saved again, but I'll tell you that there are times in our life, our Christian life, when we need the presence of the Lord just to touch us again. We need to feel that touch. I believe it was David that was anointed by oil, fresh oil, three times. Maybe you're here today and you're not seeing spiritually the way God wants you to. Are you willing to let him touch you again? Not save you again. That's good forever. But are you willing for him to touch your life again? To restore you? To make you be able to see the way that you ought to? Because when he did notice, it says he saw every man clearly. You know what that means to me? He didn't see men as trees walking any longer. He saw men just as Jesus saw men. Do we see people the way Jesus sees people? Do we see them lost? Do we see them longing for something, looking for the answers? You see, when Jesus touches us again, our eyes will be cleared up. Listen, we will see people just as He sees them. Amen. We will love them just like He loved them. And we will be wanting to get them to Christ so that they can be touched by Him. You see, this man, when you follow his story, he goes from blind eyes to blurred eyes, and now he has blessed eyes. You know I need that. I was sitting here right before I come up. I thought, Lord, this is me, man. This is me. I've been 23 years at Hillside Baptist Church. I was 7 years in the country of Albania, 6 years in Florida as associate pastor, 22 years lost as a heathen. But you know what? Through all those years, God has never left me. But I have to confess, like this man, my eyes have got out of focus every now and then. And I need a second touch. I need to be honest with myself. And you'll have to be honest with yourself and say, Lord, they're just not seeing the way they used to. I need a spiritual miracle today. I need you to touch me again, Lord. Restore that love I had for you and your word and your service and lost souls. Lord, just touch me again. We used to have some sisters in the church in Florida, the Pool Sisters. I used to have one of them, Teresa. She sung a song. It was called A Brand New Touch. I wish I could sing. You know, I wish I could. I had a preacher come preach our revival 4 weeks ago. He was a professional singer with an a cappella Christian group. He had long black hair, skinny and fit, and I thought, some guys get it all. I just didn't get it all. I wish I could sing, but I can't. But I want you to listen to just one chorus of this song. And you may know it. It's called A Brand New Touch. And in one of the chorus, it says, Lord, you know I need a brand new touch. My strength from yesterday is gone. But if you'll give me, Lord, another touch, I'll have the strength to carry on. And maybe that's you right now. Maybe your world's all messed up. Maybe your life, your spiritual eyesight's all blurred and out of focus. Maybe you've run out of the strength that you had yesterday. And right now today you're saying, God, if you'll just touch me again. I just need to feel your presence and power and peace in my life. Lord, just touch me again so that I can see people the way that you see people. And I can be the person that you meant for me to be. And I can fulfill your will for my life. It will only happen when we're willing to let Him touch us the second time. Will you allow that to happen? If it does, you'll have blessed eyes. You'll see people in the world the way that Christ does, and you'll be better before it. Bow your heads just for a moment. The second touch. Hardest thing for a pastor or preacher to admit sometimes that we backslide. Sometimes we get so busy in the Lord's work, we don't have time for the Lord of the work. And that's when we have to stop and say, Lord, put your hand upon my life again. Lord, do something special for me today. Let me know that you're still with me. God, clear up the spiritual eyesight that's out of focus. And God, let me see people the way you see people. That might be you. You may need that second touch. He won't force it upon you. But if you're willing, by faith, just let Him to do it, I guarantee you, you'll be better because of it. Father, we thank you. God, as you did to this man, do to each and every one of us. I pray that every eye has been opened by what you did on the cross of Calvary. That everybody here is saved, but God, I know in a congregation this size, there's probably that one person, that one man or that one woman, they know that you spoke to them. Their eyes are out of focus. They're not seeing clearly now. Maybe the world has blurred their vision. It might have been their family or their job. It could be some problem or circumstance or situation they're in. And it's caused them to lose focus on you, Lord. God, touch them. Do whatever's needed in their life. to get their eyes back on focus so that they can have a great desire to love you most, to serve you, to tell people about you, and just live the life that you've given to them. God, it starts with a single confession that there's something wrong. In Christ, we know that you can fix it. Whatever you need to do, may we do it today in Christ's name. Amen.